Let's open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I'm going to talk this morning about Manasseh, the king, King Manasseh. To give a quick background on King Manasseh, he was probably the most wicked king of all the kings. He was, we've heard it shared here before in relation to one of the prophets came and, I don't know which one it was, came and told Hezekiah, prepare your house, you're gonna pass away. And Hezekiah says, no, you know, not yet. So he lets him live, and in that time, he has Manasseh. And Hezekiah was a good king, godly king, honored the Lord. The people honored him because he honored the Lord. They buried him in the tombs with David and Solomon and all that. But he had Manasseh in that time, and then Manasseh came out and was just the complete opposite. It was kind of like the whole preacher's kid thing, you know. They just have a rebellious streak in them, and he just went off the deep end. So Manasseh, he, without reading all the junk that he actually did, he brought idols into the temple, consulted witches. It even talks about wizardry. And it says he made Israel to sin, and it says he made them worse than the people, than the heathen people that were in the land. Made them worse. You know, their whole purpose was to come in there and be separate from those people and to be unto the Lord and everything. And Manasseh came in and made them made them worse. He was just, you know, he worshipped all the gods that they worshipped, you know, and he brought them in to Jerusalem and spread it and propagated it. He was open. There was just a complete openness to all that the outside world, the heathen world, those nations had and lived by and worshipped and bowed their knee to. Manasseh, he received it all. You know, there was an openness in him to all that. There was a time in my life and in our lives when we were very open to the world, to the things of the world. We bowed our knees to what the world bowed their knee to what the world worshipped, you know, to the system, to the, you know, to whatever, you know. It was an openness with Manasseh to the world, this extreme openness. And, you know, when I say the world, I mean the world as it is under the fall, the world as it is under the curse, not just whatever your thing is that you like that's worldly. Not per se, not discounting that, but the way of the world, the death that's in the world, you know, the motivation of the world, you know, when Eve, you know, God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of it, you will die. You know, Eve ate of the apple, either God lied or death came in right there in that day. You know, she didn't die physically, she went on living. But she went on living in death, and Adam begot after his seed. And man, in his darkened, fallen understanding, created his own definition of what life was. This is what, you know, man looked around and said, this is what life is all about. And people interpret it many different ways. You know, we live in a society where it's whatever makes you happy. Whatever you want to be, whatever you want to do, whatever's your thing, go for that. You know, go for it, be that, whatever. Everything's accepted. Everything's cool. You know? Don't racially profile. Don't do this. Don't discount these people. Everyone, we're open to absolutely everything. Just bring it all in. I'm not trying to get political or anything, but it's a condition, and it's a condition that was going on here with Manasseh and those people. But just an openness to the world, and man's fallen definition of what life was, being completely open to it. Now, the Jews, as God sees them and would have them to be, they were not to be open to anything at all. They were supposed to be, really, and I know I'm talking like we're not used to hearing, the most closed-minded people on the planet. Locked up, tight, right? And I'm not trying to get religious here or anything, or don't try to, what are you saying? I shouldn't, you know, I don't know, whatever. Go to the mall or watch a movie. No. They were supposed to be completely separate, right? They were not supposed to be open to the world in the way I just defined it at all. God said to them, when you come into this land, what's going to keep you there and what's going to keep you my people is obeying and observing my commandments, you know, by putting me first, your whole purpose, you know. And then there's the whole issue of don't mix with the people in the land. Don't worship what they worship. You don't bow your knee to what they bow their knee to. You don't order your life like they do. You don't mix with them. You are completely separated unto me. It's an issue of being consecrated to the Lord, you know. And as far as Israel remaining in the land and the place that they were called to, they had to hold to that and observe it. And you find it in this story, we'll find it, but time and again, when they open themselves up to the things of the world, being the other nations around them, it was the world around them. You know, when I say the inhabitants or the heathen, it was the world around them. The people around them who were not serving the Lord, not living as they were supposed to live, as they were called to live, and began living like they were, being influenced by them, bowing their knee to the things they bowed their knee to. You know, being motivated by the same things they were. When they opened up to that, captivity came in. They were led away captive. Because the Lord said to them, as long as you basically stay with me, you know, you will dwell in this land. And you'll be fruitful, you'll be blessed, you'll be, you know, all these kind of things. Deviate from that, captivity, you know. And there's a principle behind it. In Romans 6, it says, and I'm sure I'll misquote it here. Whatever you serve, whatever you present yourself a servant to, that's what basically it's saying, that's what's going to be your master. You know. And the idea here, I think, with Manasseh was, these things are going to serve me. Right? I'm going to bring these things in. You see, these people over here, and this will be like a real ancient way of looking at it, they pray to this God for rain. We need rain, so I'm going to pray to this God. So I'm going to go to this God. I'm going to bow my knee to this object so that I get what I want. Right? Now bring that, and we're going to live by that. And they got this God over here, and more than just being a graven image of a God, it's this is how people get what they want around me in the world. This is how I have to, you know, I look out there and I see this is how the world works. You know, this is how the world operates. This is how people get from A to B, you know. This is the methods they use. This is what they're motivated by. This is how they live. I have to be like this. If I'm going to keep up, if I'm going to get by, you know, if I'm going to be able to, you know, make it, support my family or whatever it is, it's got to be by this way, you know. And so we let it in, you know. And there's more things than just that area of getting by or in relation to making money or things like that. But it goes across the board. It goes completely across the board in all areas of life. But this deal where Manasseh, man, he was just open to it all. Everything, you know, just let it all come in. We're just going to do this our way. Everything's accepted here, just whatever works, you know. But they weren't called to that at all, you know. And if God is a father of his people, there will come correction to them, right? And what's the purpose of it? To corral them in, to bring them in, to gather them back in to what they all called to, you know, to what they're supposed to be. You know, I was thinking of just this church and, you know, It was funny. I was just sitting over there with Randy, and I looked up, and I think a few of you were out of your seats and everything. But I looked up, and there's like five people sitting there. I was like, where'd everyone go? It was like, well, it felt like it was almost empty. But, you know, this right here looks empty to everyone else. You know, from someone from another church. They walk in and be like, man, is half the church gone on a mission trip or something? There's only a few of us. And as long as I've been here, which is like 10 years, it's always been like this, you know. My point being, with this few people, we still have a lot of people that come and go. You know, we got some of us have been here a long time, and you know, this is just where the Lord called you to, and that's fine. And some people come and go, and it's not, you know, we just want to be here as the Lord, long as the Lord has us here. You know, me and Cassie left for a year and came back. Point being, it looks like a church on the way out. I'm talking just at a glance, doesn't it? If you didn't, you know, whatever. You just come in here and look, it's like, and it's been 30 years. Yeah, you know. I mean, it just kind of, you'd think that. Like, well, maybe, you know, this thing's just on thin ice. And as far as the world goes, yes, it is. Okay. Now, this is going to correlate with that. I went to a church once, not here, that had just it must have, for this one service, I would guess they put $5,000 to $10,000 into the production. I mean, I'm talking building a whole set. You know, at one point during the sermon, a like 4 foot tall Energizer Bunny went across the stage behind the preacher, okay? Now, me personally, I have danced down this aisle in a karate dojo to disco music on a Sunday morning, okay? So I'm not saying we can't be weird. All right? And when I'm saying, you know, we can't be open to this kind of stuff, I'm not talking about, you know, that kind of thing. Here's the question. Was my I don't even think you call it dancing. Was my karate dancing to kung fu fighting to make an announcement? Was the motive of it to keep people in the seats? Or was it, if you can imagine this, to spread the gospel of Christ, you know, to raise money to go take the gospel of Jesus out to the world, you know. Now, I don't know the motives of those people at that church. But was that big production there to keep a system running? You know, why do you go to the movie theater? Because you're going to be entertained. Right? I mean, you know. Isn't that the way the world keeps people in seats? Gets people to gather where they want them to for their purposes? Entertain them, right? Take the arm of the flesh, create with it, and people will come. If you build it, they will come. Well, Jesus says, if I die on a cross, if I be lifted up, they will come. And it is completely opposite of the way of the world. Absolutely. What man calls life and his darkened understanding, what he got from the fall, like what I talked about before, will never come to that conclusion, ever, lest the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, opens his eyes to see, man, to see. And then for that man to become, like we shared about in communion, is an incredible work. To be, not just to see it, not just to have a belief, like we talked about, but to then become one who it lives by that life of Jesus. Living in light. In him was life, and the life that lives by those principles, you know, that are completely opposite to the world, was the light of men. And what does it mean by light? I knew to walk from this chair to come and stand right here because there was light in the room. It guided my path. It dictated my decision. Every step I made was calculated to come right here because my purpose was to come up here and share with you. If there wasn't light, it'd be like groping around, running into things, no real leading, just me trying to figure it out. The light of Christ means that the steps you make in life and you take, they are governed by that nature, by that life, by the one who lives that way, by the one who doesn't reach out his arm in the flesh to keep people in seats, but says, Father, your will be done. Father, if you want to give me 12, that's enough to do it. You know, I'll be faithful to those 12. You know, Father, I'm not afraid to turn the multitudes away. If you want me to turn around right now and tell these people, if they don't take up their cross and follow me, they can't be my disciple, I'll do it. I'm not trying to get a big thing started here. I'll shut this whole thing down right now. His father says, do it. He did a 180 on his heels. Didn't he? I mean, wouldn't went the way of a church, but they think, we got this thing going, and we need to keep it going. We need to keep this baby alive. Well, we need to build something big and attractive and appealing right here to keep them coming in. See, it's a way of the flesh. It's the way of the heathen nations that surround. It's the same principles they live by. And it has no place in Jerusalem whatsoever. Now, that's on a church level. On an individual level, it'd be the same. Exactly the same. And how we live our lives, you know, in our relationships with other people. Just like a leader of a church can be motivated to keep people in and keep them, you know, happy and whatever, there can be people in our lives that we want to change. We don't like certain things about them, you know, and we can do things to try to get them to change, you know. The way of the Lord is love them, pray for them, pour into them, lay down your life for them. I can't remember which king it was. One of the kings who, it says he built in the mountains and in the forests. You know, and I just thought about it, like, wouldn't that be the two hardest places to build? In the mountains, you know, on this kind of land. You know, ideally, the easiest place to build is where it's already, the ground is just perfectly level and cleared and flat. You know, you can just come in and just do your thing. Well, you walk up to a forest and you see all these trees, you're like, oh, these trees got to go. Oh, my God. And we got to dig down for a foundation, which means the roots got to go. This is going to be extremely labor-intensive. There's going to be a lot more work here than we anticipated. To build on the mountains, we got to, like, drill into rocks and, you know what I mean, work on the side of a cliff and everything. The point being, it was to build Christ into people. To build Christ into people. You know, we just want people to hear the right thing and then just fall in line. It might take more than maybe things in them that need to be uprooted, you know, and it's not going to come by, you know, someone shaking them, but by living it, by being a living example, by bearing with their faults, you know, by bearing with the trees that are in the way, you know, and by the Spirit of Christ, you know, uprooting them. Dealing with hard places, building on the side of the mountain, big things that are hard in them, you know, that you can't just pack some dynamite into and explode. You know? It takes time, you know? It takes understanding. It takes the light of life. And the Lord. And we know there's plenty more areas or whatever we could talk about as these things relate on an individual level of being open to these things. From the nations, and certainly there's the extreme of, you know, someone just going deep into the junk of the world. Either way, you know, whenever I thought of Manasseh before I read this, I just thought of him that he was the bad one. You know, Manasseh, oh, he's the bad king. And in, I think it's in 2 Kings, yeah, is the story of Manasseh also, and it only talks about the bad stuff he did. It's the only record it gives of his life. In 2 Chronicles, though, it has more to it. We're reading 33, verse 10. It said, and the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. We'll stop right there. All the things Manasseh brought into Jerusalem to serve him ended up taking him away into captivity. You know, the things that man calls life on this earth will own you if you bow your knee to him. Whatever you serve, that's going to master you. You know, man, I believe, was made to serve something. Bob Dylan had a song back when he made a Christian album called "You Gotta Serve Somebody." You know, just that simple. The whole song is, you gotta serve somebody, you know? You know, he says it over and over. But if you think about it, yeah, no one can get out of it. No one has such a position and prestige. And, you know, kings and rulers serve the people, you know? And there's plenty of stories of those people taking and putting them in shackles, you know, when something goes wrong or something, you know? Everyone ends up serving something, you know? What are we bringing into our lives? What are we allowing in, you know, to bring in? Are they things that will master us, you know? Material things is a real clear picture of it. You know, we are living in a material world. And I, no. no way. No way. People spend their whole lives getting stuff, man. You know, I loved when Patty came up here last week and they said, what was the hardest thing about America? And she starts talking about air conditioning. You know, she's like, why do you need couches? Why do you need all this stuff? I mean, it's not just our society. It's wherever you put humans around enough money to buy stuff, it's going to happen. You know, people just amassing things to themselves, way beyond need. I think with me, and probably all of us, we don't know what needs are. We know some basic things like I need water, you know. But, I mean, I'm sure that I could go through my house and be like, what is it going to take to just survive? You know, I wouldn't have anything left but maybe like a sink. Just as a water source, you know. Or so, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times, man, I listened to it was like a Dave Matthews Unplugged thing, and I was watching it, and he was telling a story of he was like in Africa or something, playing some deal, I don't know. I don't even know if it was Africa, but it was like a genuinely like poor country. And he was sitting in there with all these people and he goes, I'm starving, you know? And everyone just stopped and like looked at him like, seriously, like you're fat. And he's not, you know, but he's got, and he's like, everyone just stopped and looked at me weird. And he was like, I realized when someone of these people says they're starving, they're dying. You know what I mean? But that's just a picture of like how we are, so impulsive, and call those impulses just needs, you know. It's just the flesh, just arr, you know, just gathering it all in. Man, I need a bigger TV, you know. I need a new car. I need a bigger house. You know, and some of those things are. And I'm not saying we should all just, you know, we should just dig a well and pitch tents around it. You know, and trust God to drop manna from the sky. Okay. That's not what I'm saying here. Not what I'm saying. But Adam, the fallen nature, you see, the world praises people who make enough money to feed a small country and keep it all to themselves. They are the ones who have arrived. They're the ones that we put on TV and say, now you see, you get an education, things go your way, and you can be like this guy. Probably one of the top 10 most selfish men in the world. You know, I mean, that's the people that the world bows their knee to and worship and strives to be like. Jesus, he had everything. He sat on the right hand of God, folks, and created everything. That means it all belongs to him anyway. When Satan comes to him and offers it to him, all you got to do is worship me. Well, that's a lot less than Bill Gates had to do, you know. That guy probably works hard, worked hard, you know, before he... All you got to, you just got to bow your knee right now. I'll give you all the kingdoms. Man, I don't want the kingdom. That's not what I'm here. That's not what I'm about. That's not who I am. Devil, you wouldn't even tempt me like that if you understood the way I worked. You know, if I just came for that, I would have stayed in heaven. You know, where I had all power. Why would I come? I could have just given this to myself. I could have made my own planet and filled it with nice stuff and just went and lived there and kept the angels around me, worshiping me. It's so opposite than what this world is about. Okay, I've gone long enough on this here. So he becomes made captive, you know. And if these things are things that we hold in honor, the things that the world honor in our hearts, and we let that dictate the way we choose, we let that influence us to call things needs, therefore to go after them, eventually we might be led into captivity. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. When he was away in captivity, he reached that place where he looked down, he saw the chains, and he was like, man, I opened myself up to the heathen, and they took me away captive. You know, I put myself here. I ordered my life this way, and now it owns me. Now I'm at its mercy. You know, there was a, there's an old, you know, I heard a thing, I don't know who said it. It may have been on TV or something, but the hippie mentality was, my dad is going to be paying on his house for 20 years. Everything he owes, all the money he has, someone else owns. I have $2 in my pocket. I have more money than my dad. Right? These things. Was it you that told me that? It probably was. Well, I'm not trying to preach being a hippie, because the hippie thing went sour too. It was man saying, this is what life is about, and eventually that went bad. Oh, there was room there to... what am I getting at here? It led him captive, right? But even when people have that eye-opening moment, you know, and it can be someone who's not saved who comes to that place where they realize, this is greater than me. This has me now. This is bigger than me. I can't break from this. There's grace there. That's where we can find grace, in the Lord. And if Manasseh can find grace to be brought back to Jerusalem, any of us can. Any of us can. The Lord brought, it had to be the Lord that brought him back. And now, so he comes back to Jerusalem. And in verse 14 it says, now after this, he built a wall without the city of David. Now, just to be real simple, the purpose of a wall is to separate something from within from something from without, right? That's the motive behind a wall. The first thing he did when he came back, man, he built a wall, you know? It needs to be the first thing someone does when they get saved, one of the first, you know? It needs to be the first thing we do when the Lord deals with our hearts in relation to these things. Build a wall that says, there's a wall now between me and the stuff out there. You know, there's a wall. There's not an openness anymore. There's not a free flow. I'm not going to let this stuff in. I'm not going to let this stuff influence me. I'm not going to let it in to bow my knee to it. It's going to be what it's going to be, but not in here. I'm not of that. We're a separate people now. You know, we're going for the Lord in this place. We're building a wall. We are building a wall. And that wall, it has to be more than just a determination within ourselves. It needs to be that. It needs to come from us. It needs to be in our heart. But there has to be something there that's greater than just, I'm making this stand, and I'm going to hold this ground. Because building a wall, especially building a wall around the city back in those days, brought in a different, you know, see, back then, because there was no wall, the king of Assyria could just come and just plow over them. taken captive. You know, there was no resistance. Now, the warfare changes to siege warfare, where they come and they circle around the city, and it's basically a waiting game, waiting them out, mind games. You know, if you're within that city and there's a bunch of people camped without, you know, you're in there and you look around, I got this much water before I run out. We got this much time in here before we all die. Right? I can only make it this so long in here. Well, if we take that stand and we build that wall, we're in the siege already. I mean, this whole world, the way of the world, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, the methods of the flesh, everything, man, it's at war with the Lamb. There is a war going on. And if we're going to make that stand, there's going to be resistance and opposition to it. You know, you're going to feel it and hear it in your mind. We don't have any account of Manasseh ever coming under siege, but his father did. And what happened was these dudes came and stood outside the wall and just started talking. And they started just boasting. Your God's going to save you? Well, the gods of these people didn't save them, and my father went in and conquered them. And these, and they named like five or six of them. And you think your God's going to stop? Your God's going to deliver you? Hezekiah says God's going to deliver you. Well, how come he didn't to these people over here and these people over here? And the enemy comes in your mind and starts saying, do you think this wall is something? Look at how many times you failed. I've came in and just wrecked, you know, I've caused you to stumble this time, and remember this, and remember then, and this is supposed to be different now? Do you think this is going to make a change? You know, you having a little moment there in your cell, and you come back and you say there's a wall. That was just a hyped-up service you were in. You know, I'm going to come right back into the city and fill it with idols. You can stay in there. I'll starve you out. I'll be out here waiting for you to come out and compromise. And he offered them stuff. It wasn't just, hey, come out here and we're going to kill you. They said, we'll take you to a land that's like yours. There's going to be houses there. They're going to take them to Babylon, you know. So there's a temptation to come out too. Wouldn't it be easier if I just did it this way? Wouldn't it be easier if I just ordered my life this way? You know, wouldn't it be easier if I just didn't put Jesus first? Come out. That wall has to have something of real, godly, spiritual substance to it. Something that God has built that you can stand behind. You know, not just a decision within yourself, but something that's there of the Lord. Now, Paul built walls. The Colossians, they opened themselves up to the things of the world. They started observing things of don't eat this and don't eat that to making themselves more righteous. That obviously isn't a problem we have nowadays, or at least with this church. But it was not what they were, you know, it wasn't found in the Lord. Galatians had the same problem. They got opened up to another gospel, you know. And what was the wall that Paul established there? What did he lay down to separate them from that, to put that in between them? The cross. To the Colossians, for ye are dead. And right before those verses there, he addresses all those things, you know. He addresses, look it up, right at the end of 2. But in 3, he comes in and he starts laying the bricks of the wall. You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, to the Galatians who are, you know, he says, I'm crucified to the world and the world to me. For I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that liveth. Christ liveth in me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. The wall that we stand behind is, I don't live like that anymore. I'm not open to those things anymore. I'm not going to be controlled by those things anymore. Not because I'm just choosing to, because truth is, those things are greater than me. And so long as I'm just doing this by myself, I'll be overcome time and time and time and time again. I'll never get better. I'll never change. I'll never change the way I live. But that one, that I, that me, is not a factor anymore. He's crucified. Joan, what you said in worship was the spirit of it. When she stood up and said, that one is dead. That one is crucified. I'm not going to consider that one. I'm not going to consider all the defeats of that one, all the mixture that one led in, all the openness that one had to the things of the world. I am open to Jesus. He is my life. He is the one now. He's the one behind the wall of the city. He's the one making this stand. He's the one living this life. You know, I can't live this Christian life. I can't do this thing, but I don't have to. It's Jesus. I'm going to live by his life in me. And also it goes on, he built a wall without the city of David, and it says where it went to. And then verse 15, and he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. So you make this stand, and you find within yourself there's junk. You know, you find yourself within yourself. You know, there's a, and a clear picture of it is someone who just gets saved. You know, I'm different now. I'm not going to go to the bars anymore. You know, the change come in me. You know, and that's part of their wall, you know. But you find that within, there's still things. Within, deep rooted within, there are these elements of all that stuff of the flesh, the heathen thing. And he goes in there, he starts throwing them out. And it has to be both. There has to be a stand in the cross where it's in this life and my direction of this life and my decisions and the steps I take and where I plant myself, it's ordered by the cross. And I will order the inside of this house by the cross too. When I was in high school, I don't know what happened. The Lord moved on my heart or something. You know, Kelly probably called me, or I just came back from visiting down here. I was a teenager, and the Lord had touched my heart, and I went back, and I quit my band, you know, which was like our lives, you know. I went back, and I sat down with my friend, and I was like, I'm quitting the band, dude, you know. And you know, he was cool about it and everything, and I told him why. I was like, you know, I just want to, I don't remember what I told him, but I told him what was going on in me. You know, it was honest. Like, you know, I'm going to quit doing drugs. I'm going to quit the band. I'm going to quit hanging out with everyone, and I'm going to, you know, be with Jesus, you know. And I just sat at home. I built a wall with everything around me, but there was no inward anything happening, you know. There was a determination to, I'm going to separate myself, but there was nothing going on within. It's not enough just to do the motions, you know. It's not enough just to make the big change or whatever. There's got to be a deep inworking, ongoing. You know what happened? I sat in my house for 2 weeks and ended up right back in the big middle of it all. And things got a lot worse after that. That's usually how it goes. Things got way worse, you know, just as far as that whole scene went. just right after that. But there was no stand on the inside. There was no casting out of things, because I didn't know the cross. I didn't know. I just know you're supposed to be dedicated to the Lord, so I'm doing that. Just kind of sat at home, so now what? You know? And I really went back to everything almost out of boredom. Just, I don't have any friends now. You know? The people in my Christian school are afraid to hang out with me. You know? They don't believe me. You know, my old friends don't want to be around me. Anyway, he takes him and he throws him out of the city. There's got to be this embrace. Now, he went in there and he threw him out, you know. Within himself, there was a man. I believe he went in there with the zeal of the Lord and says, we're not going to be of this anymore. And the traces of that old life and that old way and being motivated by these things, everything was expelled. Everything was ejected. It is Christ is my life now. Everything's measured and weighed in that light. What is not Jesus? And we don't know everything in a moment. Like Manasseh can go in there and there's an idol and there's an idol and there's an idol. It takes the Lord leading us in this and dealing with us. But we can have a heart that says, man, Jesus, I just want it to be you in all things. In all things. And anything that I see that I understand and know isn't you, going after that, you know, doesn't mean the change comes instantly, but you can take that stand in faith instantly that, man, I am dead. This stuff in me, this isn't me. This is of the old, you know. This is not allowed in this city. I stand in union with you, Lord Jesus. You are my life. I am one with you. I am grafting into that. And now back to the siege here with Hezekiah. I'll try to wrap this up. they came out to the outside of the city, and they're yelling stuff, right? They're yelling stuff to them. They're trying to draw them out, basically. They're starving them out. But Hezekiah, he knew they were coming, and he dug a tunnel out, he found a pool or lake or something, but he, like, redirected water underground, brought it into the city. Is it the Pool of Siloam? Yeah. brought it out, and Mallory's only shared this with me. They brought it out into the city, and because he knew that if they come and they're outside the city and all the water's out there, we don't got much time. You know, we're only going to last so long. We need a source inwardly, you know, that we can draw from, that we can live off from. You know, that source, that water, the king has provided. From Manasseh, his father provided that source. There's a source of life in us that's been provided, that is there for each one of us to draw from and to live off of while we're on this earth. It's there to sustain us, you know? And you can see the people outside as time keeps ticking on in the siege. They're like, how are they still alive? How do they live like that? How are they sustained? How are they eating? What are they eating off of? Well, let me tell you. Come on in and taste these waters within. Leave that. Leave what you're of. You're in bondage to it. We're free in here. You know, we're free in here. Our cup is overflowing in here. How can it be? You're under siege. You live contrary to everything. Man, we got everything out here. We got everything everyone's going after out here. This is the way you do things. This is the way it's supposed to work. This is the way this world's orders. This is how man's live. This is life. No, we have life in here. And we're doing just fine. You know? But for them to really, truly say that, they would really have to truly be drinking that water. You know? They'd have to be drinking that water. They'd have to be watering that seed to grow new stuff. That water, that source, is union with Christ. Is union with Christ. That's accessed by what? Man, faith. Grabbing hold of it. Jesus said, abide in me. Now, he grafted us in, but he didn't say, I'm going to make you abide in me because I'm going to graft you into me, and therefore you'll abide, and my life will fill you. He said, abide in me, you know? What's he mean by that? Plug into me, and you get my life to fill you. You plug in, you know? You get filled up. You come and drink of these waters. You get sustained. You know, take a fast from the gods of the heathens and come and drink from this pool. Drink from this source. Drink from this well. And just see if you're not sustained. Come live in this city. Come live in Jerusalem and stay behind these walls all the days of your life and see if you're not sustained. The world says you can't do it. The world says it can't be done. The world says you can't live. Mallory, you can't live like you live. Mallory says, I am happy and full. You know, I had someone, you know, I won't say that. I had someone say something to me about someone in this church once, and I chuckled as they said it. I thought, do you even know them? Do you even know? I want to be like them. They're so full of life and happy, and I mean, have the Lord. What are you seeing? But see, they're seeing the world. They're seeing someone couldn't be happy that lives like that. So, you know what I mean? That's what people who see from these, Chris and Kim, you're crazy for coming out here. There's 10 people in the room. Why would you come to a church with 10, you know, 15 people here, man? Why? They got Energizer bunnies rocking across stages at other places. Haven't you heard? You could be seeing that right now. You could have more money. You know? Why? All that kind of stuff. That's the way of the world says. That's what the view of the world says. And I just went through a thing myself. I had all this stuff put in front of me and put on me. And I'll be honest with you, it got to me. I didn't know what was getting to me. And then the Lord was like, well, you know, this stuff is still influencing you a little bit. You know, and it's messing with you. And I was like, my God, I should be over this by now. You know what I mean? I've ordered my life this way. I shouldn't still be dealing with that junk. But I was like, Lord, my heart's with you. Like, I'm sorry this stuff's messing with me. I should be farther down the road. But, Lord, I'm not changing the path I'm on, you know, to start living after what they're telling me life is about. I'm staying with you, Lord Jesus. I may not even know what the next step is, but Jesus, I'm going to be with you. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know what the steps are going to be in the next 10 years. My future, as far as this world is concerned, for many of us, is highly unstable and unpredictable. You know, the world says you got to know what your future is. You got to have a 401k. You got to, you know, you got to have health insurance. You got to have a retirement plan. You got to have all these kind of things, and that's where your security is. That means you're taken care of. You're going to be taken care of all of your days. You know? But you'll be sitting in Florida alone on the inside. Lonely, just sitting there thinking, well, I've had money all my days. You know, my kids are off doing what I did, and, you know, I'm just lonely. This is the end of my life. You know, I was in this business. I'm proud of that, but there's no eternity in it. There's no life in it. There's no Jesus in it. It comes to an end. It ends. It's the end of the road for Adam. But for a believer, I've finished my course. I've run my race, man, and I am going on to where it is better to be. You know, I don't regret anything, Lord. Paul said, it's better for me to depart. It's better for me to depart. The world says avoid death at any cost. You know, Paul says, man, it's better for me to go and be with the Lord. But because I'm one with him, I'm going to stay here. Because he's my life. Because that's what he would do. He's in me. You know, that's drawn from that source, ordering his life after Christ, after the cross, dividing himself from all the ways of this world, saying, Jesus is my life, and I will draw from that life and live by that life for all of my days until this, my race, is finished. You know? And it just means we got to come drink. We just got to come drink. You know, if we're not filling up, we're not knowing the Lord in this way, it's not because the pool isn't there. It's not because that hasn't been provided to us, you know. It's because we're not going and drinking from it. Amen. You know, and when stuff messes with me, I got to ask myself, am I really filling up and going to the Lord and standing in the Lord like I need to be? Or am I, because there's a battle for the ear involved in all of this, you know. When they stood outside the walls of the city, what was their tool? What was their weapon? Getting in your ear. You listening, you know. You listening to what they had to say. You listening to their reasoning. You listening to all the things that they boasted of. And if you listen to those things and you consider those things and you're open to those things, you'll start looking around and you'll start seeing with their eyes. We are going to die here. There's 90,000 of them outside here. Eventually they're going to, we can't live like this. It's crazy to live like this. No one lives like this. We just need to go to Babylon. We'll be safe. We'll have houses. They'll let us live. It'll be okay. We got to take care of our families. We got to do this. Hezekiah said, with them is the arm of the flesh. With them is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. You know, they didn't fret themselves to death over the words of the enemy. They rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah. You know, we have to rest ourselves in his word. You know, put my kingdom first. I'll take care of you. You know, it's there to be drawn from. It's a source to be filled up with. And if we do, and if we truly do, it doesn't matter if we're have or have nots. As long as we got the Lord, you know, as long as we got life, as long as we got Jesus in us, we'll be taken care of. Amen. That's all I got to share. Steve has had his hand up for a while, Steve. What, you got something to share?
This is mostly that this was the first because the service and the resulting
Amen. Those are some good words. Where is that?
That's Isaiah chapter 33, verses 20 through 24.
Isaiah 33, 20 through 24?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joan, did you have your hand up?
The witness of his body, because this is very rarely where I live. I mean, I work for an agency that is going to come to close the Census Bureau, and everybody's all trembling, saying, oh my gosh, we're supposed to be here 2 months, but we could be less than that. I mean, tomorrow we could go, and every day there's no work. And we're talking about frantic, we're talking about real where you live. This is meeting my need. These are desperate people, not just about money. I gotta have a mortgage. I'm not on the street, but it's all this panic because the enemy is using the economy right now to even get the believers. And so I thank God for the sister in Christ because she and I were just there, you know. And I'm not saying you're emotionally moved by it, folks, because that's the key thing. You know, you can hear this stuff, but not listen to it. You can hear it, but not listen to it. In other words, don't give it influence in your life. Don't give it dominion in your life. And her and I mean, I thought to myself, am I going to sit here? Because, I mean, the soul starts going, these are real things, you know. And your mind is doing crazy things. And this sister and I, we began to recant on things. No, the Lord's faithful. And she began to share things from her life. I mean, and I began to share things. I said, yeah, when you don't have anything, God will give you what you need. Even if you don't have anything, he doesn't give you what you need. I said, he's enough. And we were just like, yeah, you know, cheering each other out. Because this guy was like, he was like, you know, he's a Catholic, and he says he loves the Lord. But I mean, he was kind of tottering between y'all. It's like, and we were just like bombarding this guy with just the loving kindness of the Lord, saying, no, this is the Lord. And so he gets into it, goes, I can tell you a situation that happened to me. And he began to share. I mean, God moved on his man's heart. But he was kind of down and out, he had a flat tire. He said, hey, you know, do you need a ride? He said, have I picked him up on the street? He said, he did. He said, then another in my pocket. He said, how much does it cost to repair your back bike? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I dug in my pocket, gave him $20. He said, and I drove to Walmart, he got his bike, you know, he said, and then he said, thank you so much. He said, I don't know, I didn't have any money, I don't know what I've done if you didn't do this to me. He said, then he got out the truck and said, his bike was prepared, just rolled off. He said, and then I need it for my mural, because this guy's an artist, I'm a retired teacher. He said, I need it for my mural, I went to the paint store, and done in my pocket, he told me how much it was, $26. Well, I gave him my money. He said, and I was like, oh. He said, before I had a chance, he said, I don't have the money. The person said, hey, you know what? I got all this paint, he said, for this professor at UAT, who was for his students, and he decided at the last moment, because he was going to let this, he didn't want the students to buy my store or another store. He said, so this is stock moving towards worth $800. I'm going to give it to you for free. This man says, and that has happened to me so many different times. We both looked at him and said, that's the generosity of the Lord. That's God giving. He said, it's better to give than receive. And then he was just into this thing. Because but before he, folks, he was tottering, he was fearful. If he had an atmosphere of fear and selfishness, he would have said, yeah, you gotta take care of yourself. But suddenly what broke loose was he began to say, yeah, God is taking care of me. God is good. He said, you know, brothers and sisters that have much more to do because I'm the knucklehead, I stay the teacher. He said, but he said, you know what? I have no worries. He said, I'm really free. I mean, a kid, I was like, the spirit of the Lord was in that room because we praise the Lord with the testimony of God in our lives. That's what I'm saying, folks. What's going to do it? What's going to do it? That's the law. That's the resistance. Speak against those things, even in your own soul. If you're by yourself, I mean, he's like, that person's going crazy. Joe Nuts. It's like, no, God came through. God came through. When you're walking down the street, Steve, God came through, you know? God's going to come through. It's like, I know it's like, oh, that's Joe. She's just a crazy old, weird old lady, you know? But it's like, wait a minute. You got to tell your soul, shut up. The Spirit of the Lord says this, and I'm going to go with the Word of God. I'm in the intercede right now, but there's a living source. And that's what I got. That's what I meant today. I thought that was the Lord, because I'm going through something right now, and the Holy Spirit said, I don't care what's cracked in my life, honey. The Spirit of God's in there. You grab a hold of that little piece of me, and you got it all. Because it's going to begin to fill and flow over into not just you. It's not for us, folks. It's for those people out there. Those people that are people just like us sometimes. We need to be encouraged by Joe. We need to be said, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. I know you've got one income right now in your life, you know, the Patricks, but God's going to provide. God's going to provide. I know you're living on, you know, substance, but God's going to provide, right? And not just saying, I mean, they've got to sell this dude in his pocket, and maybe just give somebody $20. if that's the Spirit of the Lord. I'm not saying we have to all do that, but it's like, we don't know how God wants to use us in each other's lives, in the room out there. And there it is, and fighting the end. They're like, whoa, this dude, he was invited. He's like, yeah, he just began going this world. Yeah, this is going on. It began to be like, oh, he came in to the wall. And by the time he left that day, you know, it was just, him and I went this way, and he left, had to move early to come to the deacon church. She says, wow, man, today's a new day. It's a new day. You know? And so just to encourage one another, well, today is today, and just, you know, love on the Lord with each other, love the Lord in each other, and see that even if you can just see, we're all cracked, you know, you can just see a little bit of Jesus. Take that little bit of Jesus and love that little bit of Jesus. You know, just love Him.
Let's just stand up together and close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that in this siege, Lord, we're together. Lord, it's not just us behind our own walls and our own place going for you, but Lord, we have the strength of the body here, Lord. All together, Lord, standing with you and for you, Lord, as your people. Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that we would truly stand together, Lord. Pray for one another, Lord Jesus. Bring one another a drink, Lord, from that pool, Lord, as you put it on our hearts, and to be faithful to that, Lord Father. Lord, if you've spoke to anyone's hearts, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that the faith of the Son of God would be stirred up within them, Lord Jesus, to stand and to make that stand. Lord, we want to abide in you, be joined to you, draw from your life, live by your life, see by your light, order our lives after Christ being our life. Order them in the decisions we make. Lord, order them in what goes on in our hearts and in our minds. Jesus, all and in all. Lord, we desire it. We want to live like that. We want to be like that. Lord, we want to be full of that. We want our cup to overflow with it. Lord, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you that you stayed faithful to us for all these years. Lord, we haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. Lord, Father, by your grace, Lord, even we were all Manassas, Lord, and we were all in chains, Lord, and we just gathered to this place, Lord, by the grace of God with repentance hearts, Lord, and we just cry out to you. We need your grace. Lord, we need your grace to go back, to build a wall, to set the altar aright, to be your people, to live for you, to be full of you. Lord, work in us. Work in us, Lord. Work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for remaining with us. Lord, we ask that you would stay. Stay, Lord. Stay with us. Move on our hearts, Lord. Fill our services, Lord, in a greater measure. Fill the worship, Lord. Fill the preaching, Lord. Fill the sharing and the prayer times that we have together in our fellowship Sundays, Lord. May our words be edifying to one another. Lord Jesus, may you bring by your Spirit life in and more life in through your body, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's not about changing things or doing things different or adding things. Lord, Father, may your Spirit just breathe more life into us. May you awaken us and awaken our hearts, Lord. Father, out of routines, out of the way we've done things, out of the way we have relationships with people, Lord, and may it just be all for Jesus, all for you, Lord. All about you, Lord Jesus. We look to you for this, Lord. We look to you for this. We pray, Lord, that you would bring us into it, lead us into it by your Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.